Christmas Eve service. I think it's very appropriate that we have this in the evening, since the announcement of the birth of Christ came in the night, in the evening. And so very appropriate to assemble as we remember the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's begin with a word of prayer this evening. Lord God Almighty, we thank you so much for so loving the world that you gave your only begotten Son. We want to thank you for the free gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ for every person who repents and puts their faith in him. And Lord, many of us here tonight are true worshipers, and we once again remember we owe it all to Jesus, who was sent into the world to be our Savior. And so we rejoice once again, and we celebrate once again. We ask your blessing on our gathering as we are assembled here in Jesus' name. May we indeed bring you glory as we worship together. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, with whom he is pleased."
Well, Merry Christmas. We invite you to stand with us as we sing some Christmas songs tonight.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
All right, you may be seated.
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heavenward Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that men no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo, Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are made with thee tonight. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrels cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come, ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation. O sing, all ye bright hosts of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Let's stand as we sing the last verse. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be a glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Why don't you shake the hand of somebody near you and wish them a Merry Christmas? Okay, you may be seated. Well, I want to share a little devotional with you this evening. I've entitled it, The Silence Was Broken. And we don't know for sure when Christ was born. We celebrate traditionally December 25th, as it's kind of come to be celebrated, but in truth, it was probably earlier in the fall season, just looking at the shepherds being out with their flocks by night. You know, in the dead of winter, they're probably not out there, probably more earlier in the fall. But that's not really the point. The point is we are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And just in terms of setting us up where we're going here in this little devotional here tonight, the Old Testament was really a time of preparation. It prepared the way for the special one who was to come, whom we know as the Christ. And it showed the need for him to come, as the people continually were sinful, even God's own chosen people, Israel, continually rebelling in sinful ways. We need a Savior. The Old Testament prophesied very specifically of this coming Christ. It said he would, for example, be born in Bethlehem, which he was. Wasn't born in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem, very specifically. Micah 5:2 says that's where he would be born. Prophesied 700 years before it happened. And we know one of the distinctive things about the God of the Bible is he's a God of prophecy. He tells us what's going to happen, and then he brings it to pass. The Bible tells us how he would live and how he would die, Isaiah 53, and so forth. Thus, God spoke to his people in the Old Testament regularly through the prophets. The Old Testament book of Malachi concludes the Old Testament record, and then there was what we commonly refer to as the 400 years of silence. During this 400 years, God didn't speak through the prophets. Won't have any. Malachi's 400 years before Christ. No other prophets come after that. It's a time of silence, time of waiting. By the way, do you like getting the silent treatment? You know, usually we know what we're talking about. We talk about the silent treatment. A message is usually being communicated, right? In silence. And God has a way of doing that as well. In the Old Testament, through the prophet Amos, he said, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it." It's a form of judgment. And, of course, God's people came back from the Babylonian captivity, and they were not feeling too good, and yet they kind of went their own way, and God did not speak to them. Yes, there was a general messianic hope that the Messiah would come someday, but the people largely settled into religiosity and their traditions, going about life, and God was silent. God was silent in the sense of no further revelation. For 400 years, but then after 400 years, perhaps on a night similar to tonight, a little earlier in the year, but a dark night, suddenly through that darkness and silence, God spoke in the form of a birth announcement. The shepherds were out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And we have read about it already, but in Luke chapter 2, it says, "The angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." I imagine they were. "The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" This is not a message of judgment. It's a message of grace. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." And what is this message? "There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior." A Savior has been born, who is Christ the Lord. That announcement shattered the silence. It broke the 400-year silence. A Savior was born, who is Christ the Lord. This becomes the turning point in the history of the world. You see, above all, mankind needs a Savior. And if you're here tonight and you've never really repented of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ as the answer to your sin problem, repentance admits you got a sin problem. Faith says, Jesus is the answer. I acknowledge, I put my trust in Jesus as my Savior, as my Lord, the God who can save me. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a Savior. And that's the glorious truth of the gospel. Announced at the birth of Christ, we need a Savior. And you see, when we think about a Savior, you can't save yourself. That's why Jesus had to come. God had to reach down to us. We couldn't reach up to God. A church is not the Savior. Religious exercises, rituals are not the Savior. No religious person is a Savior. Only Jesus is the Savior. You see, he alone died on the cross. Nobody with him. He was all alone. And when he died there, he said, "It is finished." Jesus paid it all. That's the simple truth of the gospel. And a saving faith says, "I'm trusting in Jesus alone for my salvation, for my forgiveness." That's grace. Grace is all what Jesus did. It's favor. Grace means favor. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. You don't do it. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Nobody can brag on what they have done. We brag on Jesus. He did it all. That announcement was right there from the very beginning at Christ's birth. This is why he came, to be our Savior. And it was as if heaven could not help but celebrate as the angel suddenly broke out in praise to God. It says in Luke 2:13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" What is the basis that God can have this disposition towards mankind? It's because of the Savior that he has provided. We now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And these are words of great joy. God broke the silence in speaking in reference to the birth of his Son. And this message is a message of salvation. And then think about it. After the birth of Christ, it really goes silent again. We don't hear about Christ with the exception of his interaction with the religious leaders at the temple when he was age 12. We really don't hear much about Christ apart from that single incident until he is age 30. Suddenly, once again, the silence was broken in the form of the prophesied forerunner who would go before the Christ and prepare the way of the Lord. Suddenly, John the Baptist, who was the forerunner, prophesied Isaiah 40, 700 years before the time of Christ. Suddenly, John the Baptist came on the scene with this announcement. The next day, we read about this, John 1:29. "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" This is the good news. Once again, the silence was broken, just as at the time of his birth, reminding the people that the ultimate purpose that Jesus came into the world was to be our Savior by becoming the Lamb of God, the sacrifice provided by God to take away the sin of the world. In Hebrews 1, we read, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son." God has spoken through his Son. This is a message for the world. It was announced the night he was born. Even though the canon of Scripture is now closed and there is no more new revelation, the Bible is completed. That being true, God is still speaking through his Word. The message of Christ by which God broke the silence still reverberates through the Word of God as the Spirit speaks through it into the hearts and lives of people. Jesus said in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." And again in Hebrews 3, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." God at the first coming spoke in terms of love and grace. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's a message of grace. We preach a message of grace, that is, of God's favor. And this message of grace has been going out for about 2,000 years now. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, we plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. You see, it has to be received. He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The door of grace is still open. Whosoever will can come. God's invitation. And he's a gracious God. He just keeps waiting. We say, Lord, things keep getting wickeder. How long before you come back the second time? He's a gracious God. He wants more people to get saved. And the invitation continues to go forth. But the Bible is clear that one day God is going to again speak. This time it is going to be in wrath and judgment on a Christ rejecting world. That's where the world is headed. In Psalm 2 it says, then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. And the psalm then comes to this conclusion. Kiss the Son, embrace the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Jesus came the first time as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He came in humility, offering grace, forgiveness, salvation to all who would put their trust in him. He is coming again as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as the King of kings and the Lord of lords, as the judge of all. But the message of grace is still going out. The invitation of salvation is still being offered. The silence was broken. God has spoken. It's all about Jesus. That's the key message of God in all of the Bible. It all points to Jesus. The Old Testament points forward. The New Testament points to Christ saying it's been fulfilled. Revelation is prophetic saying here is what is yet coming. It all points to Jesus. But the silence was broken, and it was broken with the glad tidings of salvation. Let us believe, rejoice, and give thanks. A Savior is born. A Savior went to the cross, was buried, and rose again. And he is one day to return as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The fact that a Savior is born demands a response. I think Paul said it so well in 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Well, as we close out our service here this evening, we want to stand and get in a large circle here, and we'll light our candles, which will once again remind us that Jesus is the light of the world. And those of us who follow him, we are children of the light, shining in a dark place. So why don't we stand and get in a large circle. We'll light the candles and then we'll turn the lights down and we'll sing Silent Night together, and then I'll close us in prayer.